before you say lay it on, Pastor Dave, we come on up here now. Diane has a quick word about where she was yesterday, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, I was going to say my mom said I was always the wild child, and that she worked really hard to reserve me. And so, but down inside, the Lord's put a passion on me. I never know what he's going to have me do. Usually it's me and my own quiet story with him. But I heard that there was a bus going out of town to the return, and the Franklin Graham thing going on in Washington, D.C. So I was like, I went online, which I hardly ever do, and I bought a ticket and climbed on the bus at 4 o'clock this morning, or yesterday morning, and drove, and I said, Lord, I don't know anybody. He says, well, I'm with you. And so we went around to all the monuments, and I said to pastors, one of the ministers had said that he had talked about was that there are four lines of defense for our world, for his church, for his people. And the first one is our conscience. And it's like we have to be really careful because we've let the world kind of sear our conscience. We can't be in both worlds. The second one was the family. And we see how the family has tried to be destroyed and broken, okay? And we don't stand for it. The next one was the government. And we see what's happening. And he said the last line of defense is the church. He said, and we, as a church, it's like we have the responsibility to lead all the others out of those places, and we haven't done a very good job. And so Jonathan Cahn said, the return is the return to God. And so we walked around to all of the different monuments, and I said, we must pray every day, okay? It's like, and there were so many people. It's like they gave us a text that we could follow online so we could hear everything. There were so many people that it just blew up. It just blew up the lines. We couldn't. So it's like individually, it's like everybody was saying we were walking around doing our own praying. But it was so powerful. It rained all the way there. Probably just as we got there. And as we started the first prayers, the blue skies, one of the girls that I was talking to, she said, I wish there was a blue sky. As they started the prayer and we started singing, we adore you, O Lord. And blue sky came for a few minutes. I said, you got your wish. You got your blue sky. And then the cloud came, and it made me think of Exodus when the cloud over the Israelites kept them, you know, it kept us from being too hot. And it didn't rain and protected us. And last, I just want to say thank you so much for, I'm very close to my goal, thanks to all of you. It's like if we go over the top, and then it's like we can raise more money for the teachers over there. So I just thank you from the bottom of my heart. I wish I could let my passion out, like, ah!
I think you did a good job, man. We love you, Diane. Absolutely. How many are thankful for the church? But guess what? You're the church. Tell a person next to you, I'm thankful for you. Go ahead and tell them. Praise God. All right. All right. So everybody say after me, Pastor Day, lay it on me. I'm ready. All right, we're going to do it. Father, we thank you for your word that lives and abides forever. We thank you that your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish the thing that you have sent it to do. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, and we thank you for the anointing to go with it today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, let's get with it. Talking about the kingdom of God and your kingdom inheritance. So let's look at Psalm 145 and just read it 8 through 13. They'll boot it up there and we'll get right with it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Are we able to get it? Okay. Yay, there we are. Okay, so the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. Boy, that's good for us, isn't it? The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, all and the, your saints, say that's me, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known the Son to the sons of men, his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Because that's what we're talking about today. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Wow. So you are a part of the most important thing in this world and universe, which is the fact that you are a part of the kingdom of God. So I want you to tell that person next to you, congratulations, you're part of his kingdom. Praise God. And it's everlasting. It will never end. So let's start writing. I love to do these handouts because you're able to keep it, take notes, and not go to sleep. And so that's why we're doing it. All right, so number one, man lost the image of God, but that image was restored by the work of the cross, So let's look at the introductory scripture here in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Here we go. All right, it says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, or let us go on to maturity. How many are glad where you are, but you don't want to stay there? You want to go on to maturity? Huh? All right, so that we're all on the same page. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. You know, this is written, the book of Hebrews was written to the Jewish people that believed that before they knew Jesus, they believed that the only way to God was through doing good things. But how many know that just doing good things won't get you anywhere except hell? Because the only thing that will get you into heaven is one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you embrace him, you make the Lord your Lord and Savior, then the works are inspired by the Holy Spirit and not by you trying to earn something from God. All right. So repentance from dead works. And that, I tell you, Jonathan Cahn, I don't know if you heard him yesterday, but man alive, he was fabulous. I said, this guy is like an Old Testament prophet with a New Testament revelation. I mean, he was powerful. And when he began to talk about abortion and 60 million children that were aborted since 1973, And if you have gone through that, you know, God loves you and he has forgiven you and cleansed you, but it's a terrible thing in this country. It's a blight in this country. And it's really brought the problems that we have right now, whether you believe it or not, I'm telling you, that's the reason. And there was several hundred thousand people there, and I was watching him, and he had us all get down on our knees. He got down on his knees. He said, you don't have to do it, but I'm asking you to do it. And I got down on my knees, and it was a prayer of repentance for all the murders that have been done in the shedding of innocent blood, which is not a good thing at all, obviously, in the sight of God. And man, I tell you, and we were crying out for mercy for this country. And I was weeping. I mean, I was weeping. I couldn't have helped it. And the anointing was so strong. The anointing was so present that you just went with the flow, and you knew the Lord was listening to us. And I believe that things are going to begin to turn around in this country as a result of what happened yesterday. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, so repentance from dead works and a faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, that's water baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the laying on of hands. If you have not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you got to get filled. Amen. You got to get. We had in our circles last week, we had one dear lady get filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time, speaking in tongues. Glory to God in our circle. And the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So God wants us to move on from just laying the foundation. All right, let's look at the rest here. So still on number one, he also, that is man, lost the dominion that God gave him. He lost the dominion that God gave him, which is restored by the way of the cross. Say the way of the cross. And let's look at these scriptures. The scripture in Micah I'm going to share with you is little known. People don't quote it. It's not on the refrigerator, okay? But it ought to be. It's a powerful prophetic word. You know, the Bible says that the words of the prophets are so powerful that Jesus is being retained in heaven until, everybody say until, the times of the restoration of all things spoken by who? God's holy prophets since the world began. Now, I feel a preach coming on, so I better slow down a little bit because you got to be able to take notes. You say, where's that found, Pastor Dave, that scripture? It's not in your notes, but it's in Acts, not A-X, A-C-T-S, Acts chapter 3, 19 through 21. Powerful scripture. All right, look at this, Micah 4:8. And you, O tower of the flock, say, that's me, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, you shall it come, even the former dominion. What is the former dominion? The dominion that we had before Adam fell, all right? God, how many know that that's already been restored by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you have dominion because dominion speaks of his power. Jesus told what? The disciples, tarry, wait in Jerusalem until you be what? Endued with power from on high. And you shall be my what? Witnesses. Eventually to the uttermost part of the world. All right, so he says, even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. So God is restoring the image and the dominion of his son in you and in me. Isn't that exciting? Wow. Okay. Let's look at number two. Oh, got to look at Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? Wow. So the kingdom of God that is in you, it's the righteousness of Jesus, it's the peace of Jesus, and it's the joy of Jesus. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you can't lose with that. All right, so that's essentially, that's what the kingdom of God is. So we have made we've defined it according to what the word says. Number two, the gifts of the Spirit are the extension of God's kingdom. The gifts of the Spirit are the extension of God's kingdom. Let's look at Acts 10, 38. Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing some, a few, people who gave the most, who went about healing, doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Right? So how many know that is what we're called to do? That's a good time to say amen. That's what we are called to do. Hallelujah. All right. So, the gifts of the Spirit are the extension of God's kingdom. Our motto should be, if God can rule in me, he can rule through me. I have to tell you a story about one of my heroes of the faith, a guy who's with the Lord now named David Schock. David Schock in 1948 was called to be a prophet to the nations. That's a heavy calling. And not that many people get that kind of calling. Well, in one of the services, the pastor, David Schock, was on staff. He was the local prophet, but he was young in the Lord, but he still had this calling. And so The pastor called everybody down for prayer, and then when they went back to their chairs, this one lady who had left her purse, having faith that it would still be there when she came back, she couldn't find it. It was gone. Everybody say, uh-oh. So a bunch of the ladies went to David Schock, and they said, you are a prophet to the nations, so tell us where her purse is. And he took them seriously. He said, I will ask God. Here's what the Holy Spirit told him. Holy Spirit said, the person that took it will come back for it at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Go to the utility room, and you will find a hamper with towels. He said, remove the towels, and the purse is there. So Dave Schock goes to the utility room, takes some people with him, goes to this hamper with the towels, removes the towels, there's the purse. Ooh. They put the towels back, wait for 3 o'clock. They had liars in wait. This well-dressed young man comes in, goes to the hamper, pulls the towels out, gets the purse, opens it up, takes the money, and they jump him. He was shocked out of his drawers. How many know you would be too, right? Make sure your sins will follow you. They get the shock treatment, yeah. And so that launched this guy. Well, years later, I'm saying this to you, that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have gifts on the inside of you, but you need to find out what they are and where God wants to use you, and then start launching out. Amen? Tell the person next to you, he's especially talking to you. A young man named Dennis Balcom winds up at David Schock's church. It's 1964. Dennis Balcom gets close to David Schock, carries his bag with him and for him and that kind of thing. And so he said, Pastor Schock, he said, I have a desire to go to China. And he said, that's closed right now. Dave Schock looks at him. This is in service. He said, young man, he said, Dennis Balcom, stand up. He said, you were asking me earlier about China. He said, it's closed. It was 1964. Thus says the Lord. He said, there's a war that will start very soon. It was the Vietnam War. He said, you will be drafted in that war. But he said, when you get out, you will go to China, because when you get out, China will have been opened. That came to pass right down the line. Matter of fact, Dennis Balcom, when he started going to China, he said they were being bombarded by North Vietnamese, and he said they had all the lights on in the compound, and he said these rockets were coming in and mortars were coming in, and they were doing their best to hide and to cover themselves, but the lights were on in the compound, so that the enemy could see them, and they were just bombarding them, and it was just so. The CO, commanding officer, looked at Dennis Balcom and he says, "Would you go please and turn the lights off? You can run and turn the lights off." So he said, "I'll just walk." And they said, "You better start running. You better start running." He said, "No," he said, "I can't die." He said, I've got a word from a prophet that I'm going to come through this war fine. And he said, by the time I get discharged, he said, China will have been opened. And he goes in, turns the lights off, and goes into his tent and goes to sleep. About an hour later, all these guys come into his tent, and they said, can we stay with you tonight? They said, you have made a believer out of us, you know. Whoever you are, we want to be with you, because we know that God has set you aside, bro. And so that actually happened. Dennis Balcom has established I don't know how many churches in China. A lot of the churches are underground churches, but he's a great apostle to that country. So we supported that guy for years. Awesome brother. All right, so number three, when we learn God's word, there must be a reception a reception and a release. A reception and a release. Let's look at this scripture in Mark. Here we go. Then he said to them, Jesus did, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, say use. Let's just stop there a minute. So you not only have, it's not enough for you just to hear the word of God, but you have to then step out on what you hear, right? God wants us not to be a forgetful hearer, but how many know the Bible says it's the doer of the word that is justified, right? So God wants you to not just hear it, but also do it. He not only wants you to receive the word, but he wants you to find an opportunity to release the word to other people, okay? So he says, take heed what you hear, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. So to the degree that you give out, to that degree, it will come back to you, right? So to the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. Say, I want to be on that group. I want to be in that group where the more is given, right? So the human heart receives blood and then releases it to the human body. We can't just eat and not give out what we have received. I mean, if you just eat all the time, but there's no exercise, no work, nothing, you get problems right here in River City, man, you know? And so, but God wants us to, he not only wants us to eat the word, but also to give it out, all right? So this is brought out, Jesus brings this out in Matthew 10, 7 and 8. Let's look at that. He says, he told this to his disciples, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, and freely give. So when you go out today, how many plan to eat some lunch today? I'm not going to talk about that too much right now, because you'd all be leaving. But when you go out, bless your waiter. Bless your waitress. You know, you don't want to give them a dollar and then give them a track, right? But you want to bless them. And so freely you have received, so it's time to freely give out. Can you say amen? One of the great stories, there was a guy, that his name was Whitey, and he was in New Orleans. And Whitey, that's what they called him, he was a foreman at a sugarcane plant in Chalmette, Louisiana. Bro, that's how they talk. And Whitey came into my office with his wife. They didn't go to the church, our church, but she called me. She said, would you see a couple sinners? I said, always. Glad to do it. They came in. This guy's big old guy, man. Tough looking guy. And when I looked at him, I thought, I'm going to have to really, how many know that you can't judge by the seeing of the eye? And I misjudged this guy. I thought, you know, his wife probably drug him here. And he didn't want to be here. And if he didn't want to be here, I don't want to be here. So I'm just going to hit him between the eyes with a word of God and let the chips fall where they may. That's in case some of you were going to sleep. And so I, you know, and I'm not normally that way, but I was that way that day. And it was like baseball bat, get ready, wham, you know. And I used to have a T-shirt. Ina didn't like me wearing this. This is way back in the day. It was a picture, Yosemite Sam on the front. And it said, heaven or hell, turn or burn, repent or else. I used to go into the stores, you know, with chick tracks, you know. This is your life. You need this, dude. Take it, you know. And you never know what happened, right? So anyway, I finished with this Whitey, you know, and he says, he looks at me, and his eyes start just filling with tears. And he starts weeping, and he turns around, and he gets down on his knees, and he's just sobbing. just decorating my sofa, man, you know, with salty tears. And then my heart just changed toward him. And I just laid hands on him and, oh, God, just touch him. Man, so he got saved. I mean, he got really saved. And he said, what's next? I said, well, you need to get water baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. I want that, he said. And so we set it up for the following Sunday for him to get water baptized. And he got water baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, I've been telling everybody about what happened in my life. I wouldn't have figured that. But he said, I'm telling everybody about it. And we water baptized him. He came out of the waters. We lay hands on him. Power of the Spirit of God hit him. Speaking in tongues. Wow. Awesome. And we were embracing him, and his wife was so happy. She was weeping. It was like, I've got a brand new husband. Wow. A couple days later, I got a telephone call. Whitey had passed away. He'd passed away. And they said, would you do the funeral? So I remember it was in Chalmette, and when I went in there, the Holy Spirit already told me what to do. He said, I'm going to give you your text for the funeral service. I went, okay, Lord. Funerals are great places to talk to people about Jesus and their need to turn their hearts to Christ. Great places. So I go into the funeral parlor, and I look around, and they're all whiteys looking at me. Guys just like them looking at me. And the Holy Spirit said, go tell them what your text is for today. So I looked at him. I said, my text for today is the gospel according to Whitey. If you didn't hear his testimony. So, I mean, every eye was just like, wow, that really happened to that guy. And some had heard, some hadn't through him. But you know what? We saw people saved that day. Because how many know you have a testimony? You have a gospel. Gospel according to Ronnie. Gospel according to Roseanne. Gospel according to Kimberly. And you go right down the line. You have a story to tell. Tell the person next to you, you have a story to tell. You've received, now it's time to release and give out. Okay, just two more here. Number four, the kingdom of God and the church are in tandem. They're in tandem. Let's look at Acts 28, 30 and 31. Then Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house and received all that came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. So that's the gospel, folks. It's the gospel of the kingdom of God, and Jesus is the King. Hallelujah. And that's what we need to know when we talk to people. And how many know that, you know, the Bible is very clear that that kingdom, the kingdom of God, and we're going to see that in just a minute, is going to fill the whole earth. Whether the earth wants it or not, it's going to fill the whole earth. You know why? Because of folks like you. Because everywhere you go, even if you don't say a word, people can look at you and say, man, there's something different about you. You got a peace on you. You have a glory. I remember one time I had come out of speaking in a meeting. I forget where it was. And I had gone to give my airlines ticket. And the pastor was with me. And I give it to the guy who was taking the ticket. And he looks at me and he says, where have you been? He says, you got glory all over your face. Didn't use that word. You see, you're light, you're lit up, right? I went, I can tell you exactly. And so what I'm saying is, whether you think it or not, you are lit up. People will see something, whether your facial features are relaxed or you have a smile, you know, and they can't figure out why you're happy when all this is going on. Oh, I can't figure out why you're smiling. I can't figure out why you have peace with all the problems that are going on in the world, with the COVID-19, all this stuff. How many know greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Praise God. So it's about what? It's about the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's finish up here and read some of these scriptures. The purpose of God's kingdom is to win as many as possible to the Lord Jesus. So let's check these scriptures out. They're awesome. Almost finished here. We're going to look at Daniel, first of all. I love this scripture, man. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. He already has done that. This is 700 years before Jesus. He will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Say, I'm a part of that kingdom. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone is Jesus, stone that the builders rejected, all right? That the stone was cut out from the mountain without hands, and it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, speaking of various kingdoms, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and the interpretation is sure. Wow. You are living in the last part of the last days of this prophetic word. Isn't that awesome? All right, let's look at the next scripture. Jesus said, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Say, surely. You could be in a room and a demon may fly off a person's life just because you're there and the Holy Ghost is upon you. I remember a number of years ago, I was in Phoenix, Arizona. Could hardly wait to leave. Why? Too hot. Way too hot. In May, burning up. And myself and Sam Hawkins were there. And we were in this conference. And it was an evangelistic conference. And so they said, would you like to go door to door? This is on a Saturday morning. Or would you like to go out and preach in the streets? I said, well, I've done door to door, a lot of it. So I'll just preach in the streets. So they took us down to Skid Row. You know, just where you want to go, right? Saturday morning, tough neighborhood. Had a microphone. We had a hookup so that we could use the microphone. We had legal rights to be there because the ministry had set it up for us. And so I'm just standing there like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to say? And immediately the Holy Spirit said, John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill and destroy, but I have come to give life and life more abundantly. And so I'm out there and I'm speaking the word. People are screaming at me, shut up, you blankety blank. You know, they're saluting me. You can figure it. Fill in the blanks, you know, and all this kind of thing. And I noticed there's one guy standing across the street and he wouldn't move. So I figured, well, I'm just going to talk to him. I'll just talk to him. So I began to tell him, but I have come to bring life and life more abundantly. The guy yells out, everything you're saying, he said, it applies to me. That's where I am. And I said, well, I'm done preaching. Come on across. Make your way across the street. That was his altar. He came across the street to the altar of the sidewalk. I looked at Sam Hawkins and said, get behind him, because I said, Holy Spirit's going to touch this guy. He's going to zap this guy. That demon's going to be flying out of this guy as soon as we lay hands on him. He said the sinner's prayer. We touched him. He said, you really touched him? Yeah, greater is he that's in you. Come on, we got to believe this now. And the power of God hit this guy, and Sam caught him. He's laying there. I said, now when he gets up, because you can smell the alcohol, when he gets up, he'll be sober. A few minutes later, he gets up. He's sober as a judge. And he tells us his story. He said, I'm a Navajo Indian. And he said, I had a nice family and a wonderful job. But he said, I got hooked on alcohol, and my life went down the tubes. I lost my family, lost everything. I said, well, sir, I said, God really loves you. I said, we have a halfway house here for you. I said, they will take you, clean you up, get you some new clothes, get you to church, and this is the beginning of the rest of your life, pal. And he tears of gladness. Let me say something. There's nothing like bringing the kingdom of God to people. This ought to be, we ought to look forward to this every day. All right, let's go to the next one. Almost done here. Revelation 11, 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, I love this. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, the Father and the Son. And he shall reign for how long? Forever and ever. And guess what? You're going to reign with him. Tell the person next to you, you're going to reign with him too. That is if you believe what we're teaching and preaching here. All right, let's go to the next one. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 and 25. Then, this is Paul speaking. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. You and I know the last enemy is death. That's going down as well. Amen. All of it. How many are looking forward to that day? Guess what? You're on the way. Isn't that awesome? You are on the way because you are in the kingdom and the kingdom is in you. Now we're going to close out here. Let's look at number 5. What is the purpose of God's kingdom within us? All right, we're just going to read these scriptures and close out. Let's look at Mark 4. And he said, Jesus is speaking, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night, rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. When I talked to Sam, that's what I told him, you plant a seed. That's what I do all the time. Plant seed for what we need. That even rhymes, right? We don't know how it works, it just works. And the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and then after that the full grain. Sounds like 30, 60, 100 fold to me, doesn't it to you? Yes, it does. All right. And when the grain ripens immediately, say immediately, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. We got to know how to take our harvest. We got to know how to receive the harvest when it comes, okay? No matter what it is. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Well, I thought leaven was bad. Most of the time it is in the scripture, but here he likens the kingdom of heaven to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, body, soul, and spirit. Or should we get it correct? Spirit, soul, and body. All right. How many know our spirit is saved and sealed? Our soul is being saved and delivered. And guess what? You're going to get a new body. One of these days, you're going up and you're going to get a new body like the very body of Jesus Christ. Say, bring it on, Lord. Wow. Final scripture, I believe. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. We say, helps us, as they say in the Deep South. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. That's the key. People, a lot of times in funerals, they say, well, you know, all things work together for the good. No, they don't. Not unless you are what? A child of God. You're a child of God, then yes, all things do work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image, there it is, of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we'll finish out the word here. The purpose, we've read it. Note the importance of praying in the Spirit to conform us to the image of Christ. To conform us to the image of Christ. We're all on a journey, folks. Like Andrew Womack said, you know, we haven't arrived, but we left the building. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, you're on your way. Say it's going to be, say this, it's going to be a wonderful journey. Say it's going to be a great journey. Say, I'm happy for you. You've made some good decisions. Praise God. Let's all stand. I'd like our altar team to come, if you will. Altar team, if you will. And here's the call. I had mentioned this earlier. God wants to rule in you.